So Gyana Vigyana Sahita. Knowledge with scientific understanding or realization. Yajgyatva, knowing which, moksha say, you'll be liberated. Ashubhat, from this inauspicious, ashubha means inauspicious. Inauspicious really means rotten material world. From, or Prabhupada says, the miseries of material existence. Shubha means auspicious. Shubha shubha palaya evam mokshase karma bandhana. You'll be freed from both auspicious and inauspicious results. I don't know what some of the other fortunate and unfortunate, what other kinds of translations you might use. But Prabhupada uses auspicious and inauspicious. Shubha means auspicious or fortunate, and inauspicious or unfortunate or really lousy. Here it means, you know, bad, rotten, lousy, miserable. Okay? Moving on. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Idamuttamam Pratyakshavagamam Taramyam Susukam Kartum Abhyayam. Very nicely this knowledge is described. Rajavidya. Vidya means education. Therefore schools are called Vidyalaya. We talked about alayas the other day. Aushadhalaya, Himalaya. So this is another one. Vidyalaya. School. Place where you get education. So Rajavidya, this is the king of education, the so-called MAs, PhDs, whatever it is. That's not really education. Yatma vidya vidyanam. Real education means spiritual education, understanding the soul, understanding the personality of Godhead. That's Rajavidya, king of knowledge. Prabhupada wrote, there's a book, King of Knowledge. Pavitram, Rajaguhya, Guyatamam,
secret,
very confidential, not known to everyone. Another meaning Prabhupada gave of confidential, said confidential means not everyone will be interested. Just like your baby pictures. You know, you have in your wallet your baby pictures, but not everyone's interested in the pictures of your baby. Only your close, you know, your relatives, your friends, they'll say, oh. But the rest of the world doesn't give a damn. They don't care about your baby pictures. So confidential means not everyone will be interested. Otherwise, this knowledge is available to everyone, but because people aren't interested, they're not aware of it. So confidential, sometimes it can mean secret, we don't tell. And another meaning is that why is it not known? Because people don't care. They don't want to know. So, Rajaguhyam. Pavitra. Pavitram means very pure. Pavitra. Pure. Loud, please.
Saintly.
Saintly? Well, only because a saint is pure. The real meaning is pure. Pavitra means pure. Om Apavitra, Pavitrava. At time of initiation, we chant this mantra. Whether you're pure or impure, or gone through all sorts of circumstances, so Om Apavitra means impure, Pavitrava, or pure. Pavitra means pure. So, Idam, this knowledge is the most pure. In the fourth chapter, we learn there's nothing as pure as transcendental knowledge. What was that? Fourth chapter? Different ways it was said? Nahi gyanena sadrasham pavitram iha vidyate. There's nothing as sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. So pavitra, this knowledge is very pure. Uttama, it's beyond tama, beyond darkness. It's transcendental. And pratyaksha avagamam, it's understood by direct experience. Dharmyam, this religious principle. And Srila Prabhupada, and susukam kartam avyayam, it's eternal and it's joyfully performed, very joyfully. Susukam. Sukha means joyful. And susukam, very joyful. And Srila Prabhupada explains all of these points, really, by the example of the life of Narad Muni. First, he explains pavitra by quoting from Padma Purana, giving a verse that's left out of the original edition. Aparabdha palam pavam. How all the different stages, those who've been studying nectar, but you haven't been in the nectar of devotion class, but when you enter the nectar of devotion class, this point is studied in some detail.
We did.
You did that, okay. So you remember there's so many different stages of Prarabdha karma, Aparabdha karma, Bijam, Kutam, Palonmukam. So they're all wiped out. Vishnu Bhakti Ratatmanam, for those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, pavitra, you're freed from all sins by performing devotional service. And education, Prabhupada explains, if you're not educated in this, then your education is just external things. So this is the real education. It's the real process of purification. And then Prabhupada explains direct perception by recounting the history of Narad Muni from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. How he, although he was just the maidservant's son, not a very high birth, he came in touch with the Bhaktivedantas and he experienced the transcendental atmosphere created by their association, by their hearing and chanting. He took a little of their Mahaprasad. He became more attracted to the transcendental nature that these Bhaktivedantas were immersed in. And he became, ultimately, Narad Muni. So that's described from his personal experience. Again, with verses left out of the first edition. So this evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yoga, one's heart becomes joyful and it's not like the mayavadi process where they do some devotional service with the idea that I'll merge. You know, it's like time serving. If I serve for long enough, I'll get to merge. But here it said, avyaya. There's no end to it. It's never finished. So that's all explained very clearly and with great depth by practical example in Srila Prabhupada's purport with reference to the life of Narada. Any questions here? Pure? Why knowledge is pure? The Prabhupada glosses purity here in the sense that this knowledge will purify the heart. There's so many impurities in the heart and they're all dispelled by knowledge. The impurities are due to ignorance. And that ignorance has so many effects. You know, I didn't know it was poison, but I drank it. And ignorance causes so much suffering. And when ignorance is eradicated, then one is freed from all different kinds of troubles created within the within the heart. So, of course, pure can also mean that this knowledge is not mundane, it's not mixed with, you know, our so-called knowledge, with, you know, imperfect knowledge, materialistic, it's real pure knowledge. That's also true. But here Prabhupada's gloss is that it completely purifies the heart of the conditioned soul. Any other question here? Okay. Ashradhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Ashradhana purusha means faithless persons. Shraddha means faith. And I heard Srila Prabhupada once lecture in Toronto. He glossed Shraddha as interest. Suppose you've attended this class. What? You have some interest. That means you also have some faith. You have some, yeah, I guess there'll be something there. I guess it's worth the, you know, $300 or $50 or whatever it was you plunked down for it. You must have had some faith that, yes, there, you know, I guess it'll, yeah, it'll probably be, you know, something in it. That's faith. That's also interest. Because I think there's going to be something. I have some interest. Well, let me see what's there. So, Ashradhana Purusha, from that point of view, means not interested. They have no faith in this subject matter, so they're not interested. Just like we're not interested in, you know, what, LSD. We don't have any faith in it. You know, there are idiots who think that it'll give you spiritual realization. So they're very interested. Let me try this. We have no faith in it. We have no interest in it. If we had faith in it, we'd probably be interested. If this can bring me Krishna consciousness, whoa, you know, it's a lot easier than all this hard work. Just take a pill and, you know, it's done. But we have no faith. And for good reason. Therefore, we have no interest. The prostitute offered herself to Haridas Thakur. You know, this will, I just want to make you happy. He had no faith. I don't think this is going to work. So he had no interest. So, Ashradhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa. Those who have no faith, Asya Dharma, in this transcendental process, or in this eternal engagement of the living being. This is the real Dharma, the real eternal occupation of the soul. But those who have no faith in this Dharma, they have faith in, you know, this Dharma, that Dharma, Hindu Dharma, Sikh Dharma, there's some superficial religious designation, or what is it, family Dharma, or this Dharma, or that Dharma, Kshatriya Dharma, or whatever. But they don't have faith in this Dharma, this eternal engagement of the soul. Ashradhana Purusha, such faithless persons, aprapyamam nivartan. Aprapyama means they don't get Krishna. Aprapya means getting. Aprapyama, they don't get Krishna. They don't attain Krishna. Nivartante. Instead, they return mrityu sansara vartmani, on the path of mrityu sansara, repeated birth and death. Prabhupada comments that faith is created by association. We saw from the life of Narada that he associated with the great souls, he got faith. Faith is created by association. And by faith, real faith means Shraddha Shabde Vishwash Kori Sudritanishtray. Krishna Bhakti Kailo Sarva Karma Kutohai. Just by serving Krishna, I'll get everything. All other purposes will be served by service to Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes, again only in this edition, that by watering the root of the tree, you water all the leaves and branches. So by serving Krishna, we serve everyone, we accomplish everything. Everything's included in Krishna consciousness. This is faith. I don't have to do this and do that and do this and what about my this and what about my that. I just have to serve Krishna, and that will do everything. This is actual faith. Yes? Loud.
This knowledge, the Bhagavad Gita, is actually everybody's nature. Everybody. Every kind of thing. But here he's talking about, you know, if you don't have faith in me, then you won't get it. So I think it's contradicting itself.
Why?
Because, you know, deep down, this is you.
Yeah.
So you can get there.
But not without faith. Just like your father has left you $10 million. It's there in Citibank, New York. All you have to do is go there and present your ID and it's yours. It's your inheritance. It's yours. It's your right. Now, if you don't have faith in it, if your mother says, you know, your father's left you $10 million, it's all in Citibank in New York, if you say, oh, yeah, sure, you just lost $10 million. Why? No faith. Some other questions? We have the book here. The verse isn't there. And there's a lot of others that aren't there too. It's just it's the way it is.
Is it quoted or no? Is it said in Srimad Bhagavatam for?
No, I don't think it's even there. Let's see. I don't think even the. Let's see. Three to me. This is text 3. Yeah, the number is gonna. The number in the summary, but the Sanskrit flipped that. And by the way, it's the wrong number. 2 verses off. Prabhupada also discusses, this is also a nectar devotion, 3 kinds of faith. Kamala Shraddha, you know, soft, pliable faith. Then stronger faith, and finally the faith of the Uttamadhikari. Yes?
When we are saying that in the beginning, if someone wants to start the process, he just takes some faith. Does that mean he's believing that just by surrendering to Krishna?
Yeah. Now, even if he doesn't surrender, at least he has that faith that if I could only surrender to Krishna, my all problems would be solved. He may be a beginner. Not that we say, you know, yes, I surrender to Krishna, I give my life to Krishna, and you know, then 2 days later you're back out in the street. But he's taking up the process. That I have faith that if I, just like you enter college, what do you have? You have nothing. fact, you're out several thousand dollars. Just to walk in the door costs you several thousand dollars. You know, enrollment and all of that. And what do you have at the beginning? You have nothing. You just have the privilege of sitting there. But you have faith that at the end of 4 years, I'll have an education, I'll have a degree, I'll have, you know, all these things that probably you won't have, like, you know, a good job and all those things. But you may or may not. But he has faith. In the beginning, he doesn't have education, but he has faith in the process. So that's all. Not that in the beginning I have to have, all right, I'm an Uttamadhikari, I'm ready to join. But at least I have some faith. And by association, that faith can grow. Prabhupada explains, the third class person has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, but he hasn't yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through scriptures like Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So sometimes they tend toward karma yoga, jnana yoga, you know, they're a little, well, I don't know, you know, they're hedging their bets, I better keep my karma yoga thing going, I better keep my jnana yoga thing going. Huh? Just in case, I'll have a safety net. Sometimes they're disturbed. But as the infection of karma yoga and jnana yoga, Prabhupada calls it an infection, is vanquished, then they become second class, first class. Why? Their faith is becoming stronger. Those who have no faith even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it's simply a eulogy, who think that the glories of the Lord are imagination, they'll find the path difficult, even if they're supposedly engaged in devotional service. You know, faith has to become stronger, then we'll get the result. Practice.
Mm-hmm. When Mayavadi is practicing devotional service, they actually don't have faith in Krishna is God.
Aprapyamam. Their idea, they'll do some service and then they'll merge. That's their idea. All right, Krishna may grant their desire, but then they don't attain Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Why? No faith in devotional service. They thought it was just something to get to something higher.
Do they really some taste from the devotional service?
If they do, then they have some chance to make further progress. If they come in touch with pure devotee, then they may relish some taste, but they're very contaminated. That's their problem. They have this infection that this devotional service is so blissful, it's so wonderful, and the more I do it, the closer I'm getting to actually becoming that. You know, so it's spoiled. Therefore, it's milk touched by the lips of a serpent. It's milk polluted by poison when we hear about devotional service from the Mayavadis. Okay? Anything else? Yes, sir. Someone's faithless, do we just leave him alone, forget about it? That depends. It certainly means we don't say, you know, I was reading in this book about Rupa Goswami, about Radharani and Lalita, and, you know, what they were doing in Radhakund, trying to make this happen with Krishna. You know, those things are so far, you know, they don't even have faith that there's God, and we're talking to them about what's going on in the most confidential Vrindavan Leela. That's one of the offenses against the holy name. But therefore we begin in the beginning. You know, life is meant for some higher purpose. life is not just meant for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That there's spiritual realization, which is so important. In different ways, we try to convince him about the importance of spiritual life and about the uselessness of the material project. We don't try to give advanced knowledge. Something we'll give, especially we give books, we give prasadam, books, even if the book is just sitting in his house, it will have its effect. Yeah. It's like prasadam, you know, how does eating an apple change your consciousness? But if it's offered to Krishna, it has potency. The book has so much potency, even if it sits on your shelf, it will purify the house. Yeah. Not that I do all rubbish and now it's purified because I have a Bhagavad Gita on my shelf. But there will be some benefit. And we see sometimes that later the person takes down the book and becomes Krishna conscious. Or the person's son takes down the book, you know, 30 years later and becomes Krishna conscious. There are many examples now. So we have faith that these books will change the person's heart. How are these book distributors going out? You know, like hours and hours and hours and hours. And giving books to people who say, no thank you, no thank you, not interested, not interested. In a rush, very busy. But somehow the book distributors are, by one way or another, persuading them, please take this book, please take. Because the book distributor has faith, no, this will help you. It's like the doctors, they're going to these places where people don't want to be inoculated. And they're somehow persuading people, no, just take this, it will be good for you. So, and risking their lives sometimes, you know, going into infected areas. So the distributors of Srila Prabhupada's books, they're doing that. They're going out at risk and at so much trouble because they have faith. This book will do something. It will change a person's heart. It can change the whole world. Anything else? All right. So now Krishna has given his introduction about the importance of this knowledge, the value of this knowledge, and he said that if you miss this, then you're not going to reach me, you're just going to stay here and rot in the material world. And now Krishna begins his description. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastita. Krishna says that in my unmanifested form I'm pervading the entire universe. What is that unmanifested form? It's Krishna's impersonal feature. Means Krishna's everywhere. Murtina means in his form, but avyakta murtina. Avyakta means not manifested, unseen. Prabhupada gives the example that a businessman is present in every corner of his business. But he's not seen. He's there. He knows everything's going on throughout the factory. And his control is there in every department. But he's not seen. He's not seen. Avyakta. He's there, but not seen. We have our practical experience. The air is everywhere, but it's not seen. Why? Because it's subtle. Very subtle. Our eyes are not equipped to see. We see so many things, but not air. So it's avyakta. It's there, but it's not seen. But why is Krishna not seen? Because we don't have the vision. It's not that Krishna is not here. But our vision is not there. Therefore, he is not seen. That's explained in another verse, not quoted in the original edition. Atasri Krishna Namadi. That Krishna's not seen to the by the gross senses. Sevan Mukahi Jivado. The service has to be there. Then we can see Krishna. The pure devotee will see Krishna everywhere. But we don't see. Then Krishna says, Matstani, Sarva Bhutani, all the living beings are in me, Nachaham Teshvavastata. But then again, I'm not in them. I'm not there. Bhuta means the living beings, or Bhuta also means the non-living beings, can also be called Bhuta, Pancha Mahabhuta, material elements. So everywhere Krishna is there. But then again, he's not there. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference. He's everywhere, but he's not in this material world. Tad dure tad vantike tad antarasya sarvasya tad u sarvasyasya bhayata. In Isha Upanishad it said, he's within everything, but he's outside of everything. Tadure tadvantike. He's very far away, but he's very near. So this is Krishna. What is that? Goloka eva nivasati. Akilatma bhuta. Akilatma bhuta means he's everywhere. And goloka eva nivasati means he's in Goloka Vrindavan. Vrindavanam pratyajya paramekam nagacchati. Krishna never steps outside of Goloka Vrindavan. But, hello? You're writing, okay. Krishna never steps, you're fine. Krishna never steps outside of Goloka Vrindavan, and yet he's everywhere. That's really not doable. You know, from our, as far as we're concerned, that's doable. If I'm in Mayapur, I'm not in New York City. But Krishna can be in Mayapur and in New York City at the same time. Or he can be still in New York City but never leave Mayapur. And Prabhupada gives the example that the king is everywhere, but still he never leaves his place, his palace, or his wherever he wants to be. He doesn't have to go everywhere to be everywhere. He's powerful. Then at the end, Prabhupada says, Vistavyaham idam kritsnam. That is, he says it in the second edition. Vistavyaham idam kritsnam. I'm present everywhere by my personal representation. The diffusion of my different energies. If the sun is everywhere, but the sun is not everywhere. Follow? Okay. Any other question? Yes.
This is the meaning of Avyakta Murti.
Avyakta Murtina is everywhere, but not seen. Murtina, it's his form, but it's a form that's not seen. The Lord's not different. His energies are not different from him. He's not different from his form. His form is everywhere, but it can't be seen. Nacha matstani bhutani pashyame yogam aishuram. Then again, I'm not in everything. I'm not in everything, and everything's not in me. Everything's in me, but everything's not in me. I'm everywhere, but I'm not everywhere. Nacha matstani bhutani. All these living beings, no, they're not in me. All these manifestations, no, they're not in me. We say everything is resting within God. And God says, yes, everything is resting in me. Then again, not that everything's resting in me. I'm off in Goloka Vrindavan playing my flute. What is this universes and all this? I'm not going to. How do we understand it? By devotional service. Otherwise, we don't understand it. Everything's within Krishna. You know, this is like a question in theology. Is God immanent in the creation? Is he everywhere in the creation? Or is he outside the creation? You know, which is it?
All of the above.
Yeah, all of the above, right. He's both immanent and transcendent. He's both within the universe and beyond the universe. Everything's resting on him, then again it's not resting on him. Pashyame yogam aishram. See my transcendental power. Yogam aishram means mystic power, inconceivable power. Pasha, just see. Bhuta brin, nacha bhuta sto. I'm the maintainer of all living entities without being in the material creation. Mamatma, bhuta bhavan, I'm the source of the entire creation. Any questions? Very important verses for understanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy of achintya bheda abheda tattva. Simultaneous oneness and difference of everything and Krishna. Okay? Okay, this is when I take my little break and you all get a stretch of not very much time.
If you just make a few announcements, the parigram on Saturday, everybody gathers here at 9:30. It's important to gather at 9:30 because we're going to back from No Thakur's house. And there's a boat leaving at 9:45, and I'm not sure exactly where the boat's leaving, so if we gather here at 9:30, and then the rest of the program that day is from 10:30 to 12:30, bhajans and talk by Bhakti Churi Maharaj, 12:30 lunch, and 1:30 leave and return. And thanks to Sori Prabhu for sponsoring.
Shauri Prabhu, Shauri
Prabhu. And as far as you know, I was going to ask.
Today, also one more announcement. Today there is a feast. One of my god brothers just got married on Sunday, so he specifically asked for that. He had all the MIT students in this big kitchen, Shulab kitchen here near the Samadhi, at 2:30. But we expect all the MIT students to be there at the game at 2:15. So we have a special. There will be many devotees from Mayapur, but especially
Sorry, Prabhu said come at like 2 and by 2:15 we can.
2:15 is fine.
Because 2:15 already everyone's there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody comes early.
If it means 2:30,
come on time
for
these feasts.
Okay,
the prasadam hall's already full.
So let's 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Okay.
So we don't have prasadam here today?
No prasadam. Everybody prasadam.
Oh,
we are invited.
Instead. That's instead.
Okay.
Not as well as.
Instead or as well as?
No.
Only one prasadam.
But the thing is,
there's only one prasadam.
I see. It's not.
Are they still making here or?
I don't speak Brahman. You have to ask the organizers. But I'm just.
So where is Kevin? You don't know.
You don't know? Are they making?
I'm sorry, we know.
No, but there is no problem.
Huh?
This is a a very big feast.
Sorry, Prabhu.
It's another case of, you know,
it's prasadam, but 1 o'clock today.
So we don't have time. So,
Prabhuji,
Bhakti Charu Maharaj is going tomorrow.
Yeah, I thought we had
this. Not tomorrow, Saturday.
So 2 o'clock,
so eat this and then you go for feast.
And we will have lunch there.
We'll have a munch.
Munch.
Oh, God.
At home.
Oh.
And after some years, I read the book, but then I was too young. So that was Krishna books. I read maybe half of the book. But then I was thinking, wow, I cannot understand this. And after a few years, again I met another Buddhist teacher, and he gave me perfection. So that was part of the arrangement, actually. My father brought the book. The book gave some fruit.
They work. Okay, shall we start again?
Yep.
Haribol.
Okay, guys.
Come back.
Enough is enough.
Enough.
Come back.
Childhood's over.
Yeah.
For some.
Change of body. Bhuta Brinda Chabhuta Stola Matma. Go ahead. Tulsi Prabhu is giving personal testimony how his mother? Father. His father bought a Krishna book when you were how old?
Maybe I was 10.
He was 10. And then he read it also, but thought, well, what is this? But then later, he met the book distributors and became a devotee. So the books work.
I found Parvati on the roof of my grandmother's house. And I don't know why, but I just went up there.
There's another example.
I looked around, and there were boxes, many books, and a book with this blue man.
Found the book in the attic of the house and became Krishna conscious.
I found a book in Mexico and I became Krishna conscious.
That's right, you found a book in Mexico. So, yes, where? Who else found a book?
I found a book at midnight after a party at a friend's house when I was 18. And he had got it from a book distributor. He had absolutely no interest in it.
Just see, yes?
When I was seven years old also, my father had books.
Your father got a book.
I was always looking at the pictures.
You were always looking at the book and seeing what this
I
is.
I could not read it.
Couldn't even read it, but just looking at it. So you touch the book, it's dangerous.
Contaminating. Transcendental effects.
Okay. Krishna is going to further explain this difficult point of how he's everywhere and yet not everywhere. Yata kasha stito nityam vayu sarvatra go mahan tata sarvani bhutani matstani iti upadharya. Upadharya process, just try to understand. What is that? Here's a practical example that the wind blows everywhere and still it's within the sky. Akash. ethereal space, what it says here, but Prabhupada gives more, it's the sky. Within the sky, the wind is there. So, within Krishna, everything is there. Exactly what is that sky? Hard to say. Sky is very subtle. What's it made of? It's not made of air. The air is within the sky. Sky is a very subtle thing. But within the sky, the wind is blowing. Although you don't see the sky, but it's within the sky that the wind is there and that everything is there. So, within Krishna, everything exists. And while we're at it, there's another verse in purport that's not there in the previous edition. Sarva bhutani kantya prakritim yanti mamikam kopakshe punastani kalpado visrajamyam. Well, we've just seen this in the 8th chapter with reference to Brahma's day and night. You know, all the living entities or everything that exists is coming and going. Bhutva, bhutva, priliyate. Now we find out that everything, the entire material nature, enters into Krishna at the end of Lord Brahma's life, and again at the beginning of Brahma's life it comes out again. Clear? It can be either way.
Yeah.
You take it as the, because there are different kalpas. Kalpa can mean just the one cycle of four ages, or it can be the whole day of Brahma, or it can be Brahma's whole life. There are, you know, like levels of time.
Here in the epistle it does say that it's at the
end of Brahma's life, right?
Yeah. Do you know how Mayavadi is dealing with this verse?
Want to tell us?
No, I don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't know how they deal with this verse. It's like Jnanivas said this morning, that one verse, you know how they deal with it? The one, what was it? Which verse was it?
It's 15.
That beyond the the fallible and infallible, there's another person.
Yeah.
Purushastranya. You know how they deal with it? He said, they skip it. They just don't say anything. They keep going. Okay. In the Bhagavatam, the example is given like of the spider that manifests everything from within himself, manifests his web, and then at the end just absorbs it again. It's all there. It's all a manifestation of the spider's body. But he extends it and withdraws it, extends it, withdraws it. But Krishna's doing that also. Prakritim Swam Avashtabhya Visrajami Puna Punaha Bhuta Gramam Imam Kritsnam Avasham Prakritir Vashat Prakritim Spam Avashtabhya. I enter into the entire cosmic manifestation and I create everything. The Lord enters as the Mahavishnu. He enters as the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Even when Brahma's supposedly creating, really he's the sub-creator. So Krishna says, Prakriti, Swam, I myself enter into this cosmic manifestation. Visrajami, and I create again and again, Puna Punaha, Bhuta Gramam Imam Kritsnam, Avasham Prakritir Vashat. It's all happening under my control. Avasha Vashat. Vasha means control. So Vashat means from my control. And Avasha means without any control. The material nature doesn't actually have any control. The living beings actually don't have any control. The control is with Krishna. And to the extent that Krishna gives some control, we have some control. But the whole thing is manifest. Again, the same thing was said in the 8th chapter. That helplessly. Where was that? Let's see. Ratriagame avasha partha. Helplessly. Everything's dissolved at the night of Brahma. Same. Helplessly. It's not that the material nature can say, or anyone can say, or anything can say, no, I'm not ready to get brought back into the body of Mahavishnu. Just because he's breathing in, that doesn't mean I have to go in. You're helpless. He's breathing in. That's it. The whole Prakriti is absorbed. And when he exhales, by his power, again, everything's manifest. Excuse me?
What's the meaning of automatically manifested?
Automatically manifested. Automatically manifested means, not exactly automatically, but it seems to be automatically. Just like we say that when you press this button, then automatically it makes toast. Now, automatically doesn't exactly mean automatically. It means under the control of the person who's pressing the button. There's some arrangement. You press the button, then automatically. Automatically means, again, that Krishna doesn't personally have to do it. He has his energies. Because you press the button, you don't personally have to, you know, light the fire and turn the toast over and do all of those things. You just press the button. He's the one. He says, he sets up the arrangement. He doesn't even have to think about it. His energy, prasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate shabhaviki. Automatically his energies, they do everything. Just like a good servant. It said the third class servant is the one, the first class servant is the one who you don't even have to ask. He anticipates what it is that you need. And he's already there, you know, ahead of you. That's first class. Second class, when you ask him, he does it. And third class, even if you ask him, he won't do it.
Third class.
So,
actually, no class. The
material nature is first class. It works, it's chanurupa, just following the desire of Krishna. Whatever Krishna desires, material nature is automatically doing. He doesn't personally have to, you know, like kids, they imagine that God's up in the sky and he's pulling levers and he's pushing buttons or he's pulling strings or something. Krishna doesn't have to do all that stuff. Just by his desire that it should happen, it happens. Yeah, he doesn't have to think, well, wait a second, girls, you know, I've got to, got something happening in the material nature here, I've got to, you know, whoops. Sorry, time to wrap up the universe. I'll have to come back later. No. It's all happening by his energy. Svabhaviki, it's chanurupa. As he's desiring, it's happening. Govind namadi purusham tamaham. It's clearly indicated here by the word avasha. Living entities have nothing to do with this process. It's completely under Krishna's control. Okay, any further questions here? Moving on. Nacha mam tani karmani nibidnanti dhananjaya. This appears to be a lot of work. You know, I'm making all the things happen. Whatever's going on in the universe, it's because of me. But it doesn't affect me. Nibidnanti. All these activities of creation and annihilation don't affect me. This is another verse quoted only in this edition. Atmaramasya tasyasti prakritya nasamagamaha. In the Brahma Sanghita it said that he's always involved in his eternal, blissful, spiritual activities, but he has nothing to do with the material activities. So, nachamam tani nibbananti tananja udasinavat asinam. I'm situated neutrally. I'm aloof. It's happening without my being attached. Asaktam teshu karmasu. I'm not attracted to these activities. I'm not involved. I'm detached. It's not because of my desire that anyone's suffering or anyone's enjoying. The judge, it's not that he's really thinking, you know, I want to get this guy. I'm going to screw this guy, or I'm going to reward this guy. He's just detached. He's detached. According to what you deserve, that's what you get. So Krishna also is... Prabhupada gives that example right in the purport. The judge is... Lord is neutral. He's not attached to all of these things happening, but they're happening because of our desire, and the Lord is facilitating that. The living entities take their different forms in the various species according to their past deeds, and the Lord doesn't interfere. Asaktam teshu karmasu. So Krishna has, it's not like Krishna is under some law of karma that he has to make these things happen. But he's making them happen according to his own arrangement, without being involved and without being partial. Any questions? Yes.
But if you pray to Krishna, if he helps you.
Yeah, that's different. Krishna says he'll say elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that? That Krishna says, and we'll remember the Sanskrit in a minute, that na medveshyosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mayi te teshu chapya. Krishna says, I have no favorites. I'm not in favor of anyone. I'm not against anyone. But ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, when one engages in devotional service, then I'm in him and he's in me. He's always thinking of me, I'm always thinking of him. The Lord is neutral, but not to his devotees. Therefore he's called Bhakta Vatsala, the person who favors his devotees. Yes? And this, who gets more mercy from Krishna, spiritual world or here? No difference. You can get Krishna's mercy anywhere. I can't hear you.
Whom does he favor more?
He favors his devotees more. Not that he favors... He's not... He's impartial. But according to your love for him. For the devotee who's always engaged in his service, the Lord is there. Doesn't matter, material world or spiritual world, there's no distinction. Krishna favors his devotee.
Okay,
loud, please.
Even if your love is not so strong, Krishna,
special mercy Krishna can always give. By the desire of a devotee, Krishna is impartial, but some devotee is desiring, give this guy a break. So by the desire of the devotee, the person becomes engaged in devotional service. Just like in some business, there's so many employees, but some executive vice president sees, this guy's a good guy, you know? Why don't we give him a break? We have an opening here. Why not, you know, give him that spot? Why? There may have been more qualified people, there may have been, you know, any other person could have been chosen. But the guy liked you, that's all. Vice president likes you, you get a job. What's that? Causeless mercy. You know, here's a bright young guy, give him a job. Why don't give him a spot? Therefore it said, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasad. If you please the spiritual master, then Krishna is also pleased. The person who gets the mercy of the spiritual master gets Krishna's mercy. Anything else? Moving ahead. Mayajyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara hetuna nena kontiya jagat viparivartate. Mayajyakshena, ajyaksha, aksha means eyes. Aksha means eyes. So adhyaksha is the person who has his eyes on everything. The manager. Manager has his eyes on everything. So maya adhyakshena, by my superintendence, by my supervision. Supervision. By my supervision, by my superintendence, prakriti suyate sacharacharam is manifesting all the chara and achara, all the moving and non-moving living beings. Hetuna. Hetuna anena kontiya jagat viparivartate. The universe is moving for this cause, for this reason. Hetu means the reason, the cause. Hetu. There must be some reason why the universe is working. Every kid wants to know, why this, why that, why is this, why is that, why is the sky blue, why is, you know, why do people die, why is, you know, why? It's called Keno Upanishad. Inquiry, you know, why? There must be some cause. So then someone explains, well, because of the law of motion, or because of the laws of this or the laws of that, for this reason or for that reason, or I don't know, nobody knows. But there's a cause for everything, and finally the cause is Krishna. Sarva karana karana, the cause of all the causes. So it's because of Krishna that the material nature is working. He is what's called the remote cause. There's an immediate cause and a remote cause. Just like in when a potter makes a pot. So the immediate cause is the potter's wheel. The remote cause is the potter himself who's turning the wheel. They think that the government tells us that Osama bin Laden arranged for these airplanes to smash into the World Trade Center. For those who believe that story, the airplanes are the immediate cause, and Osama bin Laden is the remote cause. He's off in a cave in Afghanistan somewhere, but by his direction, the planes are hitting the building. So there's an immediate cause and there's a remote cause. Or now in Iraq, so many people are dying. So the immediate cause is, you know, the soldier, the tank. But the remote cause is in Washington. So the immediate cause of everything that we see is material nature. And scientists attribute everything to material nature. They don't see the remote cause. In Krishna. Or another example. A woman is giving birth to a child. She's the immediate cause. But there has to be a remote cause also. Without the father, the woman is not going to give birth. So Prakriti means the female. Purusha means the male. It appears that the female is the cause of the birth of the child. But there has to be a Purusha, a male involved. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So Prakriti, material nature, won't independently do anything. Won't independently produce living, the moving or non-moving beings. There has to be the Purusha, the male, or Krishna. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahur anishuram. Aparasparasambhutam kimanyat kamahoitam. The demons think that everything is just happening by material forces. Kimanyat kamahoitam. Hoitukam means from hetu. What other cause is there but just the interaction of material elements? That's the demonic outlook. But the devotees know that there's a cause behind material nature. Otherwise, material nature doesn't do anything. Material nature doesn't do anything. On its own, material nature is not going to work. Just as a car, it's not going to go automatically. There has to be a person driving the car. This body is not going to go automatically. There has to be consciousness making it go. My arm isn't going to automatically raise. There has to be a person who thinks, let me raise my arm and then something will happen. So the remote cause is identified here as Krishna. He glances over material nature and by his glance saw Aikshata. Again, Aksha, Aikshata. By his glance, material nature is impregnated. Why is that? Angani yasyasa kalendriya vrittimati. All of his senses are equally capable. If we want to have a child, we can't do it with our eyes. But Krishna impregnates material nature just by his glance. That's called all-powerful. With our glance, we can do something. We glance at someone, and the person knows. You glance at a servant, he knows, okay. You glance at the mridanga player, he knows, I know, okay, I have to speed up. Or you glance at your son, and just by the glance, he knows, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So our glance has a little bit of power. But Krishna's glance has unlimited power. He can run the whole material nature just by his glance. That's power. And Prabhupada gives an example. Because he glances over material nature, there's no activity on the part of the Supreme Lord. He has nothing to do with the manifestation of the material world directly. The example is that when there's a flower, the fragrance is touched by the smelling power of the person, but the flower and the smelling are detached from one another. You smell a flower, but without touching the flower. So Krishna, he impregnates the material nature, he energizes the material nature, he controls the material nature without coming in touch with material nature. That's Krishna's nature. That's his capability. Any other question here? Okay, we are moving on to the next verse. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritam param bhava majananto mamabhuta maheshwar. Avajananti means they deride me. Avajananti mam who? Mudha. Again, that word comes up. These asses. Mudha means ass. These dullards, these fools, these asses. Abhijananti mam mudha. Manishim tanamashrita. They think that I've taken shelter of a human body, like an ordinary conditioned soul. Param bhavam ajananto. They don't know my superior nature. They don't know mama bhuta maheshram, that I'm the Lord of the entire cosmic manifestation and of every living being. That they don't know. They're idiots. They're fools. They think I'm like one of them. Prabhupada gives the example that the Mahatma Gandhi is put in jail and the ordinary criminals think, oh, now Mahatma Gandhi's like us. No. Or if the superintendent of the prison enters the prison, and then the prisoners think, now, okay, now the super has also become a prisoner. No. So Krishna appears in the in his human form, actually by his mercy. Atma maya srijamya. Maya means mercy also. By my mercy, my own mercy I appear. And this is the nature of these fools, that when by my mercy I appear, they say, ah, ah, ah. Why? Envy. If Krishna is on our level, then we're on his level. Either we have to come up to the top and be God, or he has to come down to the bottom and be one of us. That's called envy. Not that he'll be up and we'll be down. No, 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 no. That's unacceptable. If he's up, then we have to be up. And if he's down, then it's all right. If we're down, then he has to be down. Huh? That's what's going on here. They're trying to drag Krishna down to their level because they're mudhas. Krishna's unequivocal about it. He's not... doesn't mince words. They're mudhas, they're fools, so they think that I'm an ordinary person like them, and they don't recognize my superior nature. And here Srila Prabhupada, again in the second edition, really gives a lot of quotations. Or maybe I'm wrong, maybe that's in the first edition too. Not quite. Yeah, no, I take it back. They're there. They're just not referenced where they're from. Later it will come. But there is a verse, not shown. Kritavan kila karmani. Got to look in the second edition for that one. Saharamein akeshava atimartyani bhagavan buddha kapatamanusha. Being masked in the guise of human beings, they played. People didn't know that Krishna and Balaram were actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. kritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava ati martyani padaman gudha kapatamanushah. Appearing like a human being, he performed superhuman activities. Oh, I take it back. There's so many verses actually. They're quoted here. Bhuva Prakrita Shishu. He appeared in the prison house of Kamsa as Vishnu, forearmed. Then Bhuva Prakrita Shishu. Then he assumed the nature of an ordinary child. And in the 11th chapter, again, only here, Arjuna wanted to see Krishna's forearmed form, tenaiva rupena chatura bhujena. And then when Arjuna asked, he reassumed manushum rupam, his human-like form. So this is all within the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the fools deride Krishna, and they think that he's an ordinary human being. That's their misunderstanding. Any questions? Yes. Yes, he does. Many times. That's love. The father says to the child, "You're such a fool. What are you doing?" Why? Number one, because the child is a fool. And number two, out of kindness. That the child should be told, "You're a fool." You're a fool means you should correct yourself. Just like the spiritual master. Prabhupada always, you know, what is you? This is rascaldom. What are you doing? You're nonsense. You're a rascal. Why? He said that's actually good for you. Chanakya Pandit says that the son and the disciple should be reprimanded. That's the duty of the father and the spiritual master. Sometimes Prabhupada, he would reprimand his disciples, and sometimes he would say, "Don't mind, it's my duty."
It means reprimand.
Chastise, rebuke, chew out, lay into, smash, give the sauce to, you know, all those things.
Lost.
So that's love. If the spiritual master just smiles while the disciple is doing his foolishness, then that's the spiritual master's negligence. You know, doesn't he care? If he cares, he has to tell the disciple, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You rascal, where did you get this idea?" So Krishna is the original spiritual master, just like he told Arjuna. You're speaking like a pundit, but what kind of pundit are you with all this nonsense? A little mildly in the beginning, in a subtle way, you know, you're speaking like a very learned person, but no learned person would say these things. So indirectly, he called him a fool. Yes.
So in the beginning, he says, "I gave the signs to the sun god."
Yes.
In the very beginning, he's saying, "I gave the signs." The sun god.
Yeah.
Millions and billions of billions of years ago.
Yeah.
How can be Mudha? I can believe in Kali Yuga.
Where does Mudha come into the picture? No. Mudha. The Mudhas are thinking.
This is Sparta.
Vibhishan's not a Mudha. He's a devotee, practically. Just like Krishna, Arjuna. Is Arjuna a Mudha? Why is Krishna speaking to Arjuna? Not because he's a mudha. Bhaktosi mesaka cheti rahasi, because he's Krishna's friend. There are other people, we're not even going to talk to them. Why? They're mudhas. They're so dull, they're not going to get it. They're buffaloes. They're not going to get it.
Thick-headed.
Yes.
Well, one thing is there is that Jiva spawn, that was millions of years ago. And when he's speaking, it's 5,000 years ago. And there was some mudhas around.
I see. That's where the picture, how it's coming.
Because there's a lot of, only a few.
There are always mudhas. There's always Hiranyakashipu, you know. That was in a previous age also. There's always some mudha.
Duryodhana is a mudha.
Hiranyakashipu is a mudha. Ravana is a mudha.
Krishna came.
So many.
The last chance.
It's not only in Kali Yuga you get mudhas. They're there since time immemorial.
He tried to arrest Krishna. Duryodhana.
Yeah, yeah. There's never a shortage of idiots.
Phone drug.
Yeah.
How should one feel if you can ask another or have you ever correct him but not his smile?
Yeah, a little less fortunate. Prabhupada mentioned that his Guru Maharaj sometimes used to chastise him. Prabhupada said, those were our brilliant days. Just like Advaita Acharya, he was feeling bad. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always respecting me. He's never, never rebuking me. He's always always treating me with such deference. So then, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Acharya, he's respectful. So then Advaita Acharya made an arrangement. He went out and started preaching Mayavadi philosophy. Yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so angry. Oh, Haribo! Then Advaita Acharya was happy. But don't go out of your way to be reprimanded by him. But anyone who tries to do some service, he'll probably get reprimanded in the course of things. That's good.
No, by nature. We do all the things.
Maybe, let's see. I explained this next verse.
I think food is coming.
I should point out, bring this book tomorrow. It's a great book.
Who got it? In the library.
Great book. First of all, it's a great book because it's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Second of all, it's a great book because I can compare it to the later book and see all the things that are left out. So it's good to have for that reason. We're really just about done. Our time is up. Are there any other questions? I can let you go 2 minutes early. It's all right.
This word deride, can you give some other qualities of this word deride in that verse?
It's all, synonyms you can find. There's lots of them.
Make funny or make joke.
We
bring him to that. We give you no
level.
Importance. We, who's he? Who's that guy?
Common.
Have a John Anti. Ignore him. Consider him. Have a John Anti. I would have to look at the dictionary to see exactly how that's derived. Abba, Jananti. Jananti, knowing. So, they don't even want to know. I would have to look and see exactly how it's derived, but it's from Jananti, they know. So, Abba Jananti. I think so. I'll have to look at the derivation. I'm speculating, which I shouldn't do. But the meaning is What is it, Italian? That's derived.
That's good. It's understandable.
We have some other gestures.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
But that's
especially
the demon.
Americans.
Yeah, the Americans, they have a way to, you know.
Well, there's another in Italy.
Yeah, anyway, what if we won't even go into these things. But that's the demons.
Yeah.
That's the mudhas, the demons. You know, material, why do we have to get... You don't need a god. Who was it talking the other day about this guy, Dawkins? Somebody was mentioning him, you know. The god delusion. You know, this is the Dawkins delusion. Right. That... You know, material nature, you don't need any god. Material nature, you know, the cars are just going to drive themselves. The machinery is going to work on its own. It's smart machinery. It's going to work on its own. You don't need any intelligent being there, you know, like kids and Christians think. You know, God, what is this God? Oh, Krishna's God. Krishna, he's a person like everybody else. Got it? He's just a historical person like everyone else.
Myth.
They made him into a god. You know, he was probably a shepherd or a king or something, and they, you know, they puffed him up into a god. Or maybe he's just, you know, didn't even exist. He's just mythological. That's the demons. That's the mudhas. They don't recognize that there's God is a necessary principle. You know, a controller of, you know, in pregnancy, the man is a necessary principle. With a computer, the operator is a necessary principle. The programmer is a necessary principle. So they don't recognize that there's a necessary principle here.
Remote cause.
There's a remote cause. Which is necessary.
But they can't see.
The potter, you know, the potter's wheel is not just going to turn and make a pot. Another example is the scorpion. The scorpions are coming out of rice,
yeah.
And you know that's enough. The rice has produced the scorpion.
Yeah.
That's mudha. They don't recognize the necessary principle of the remote cause, the mother scorpion. And beyond that, the father scorpion. Okay, time to go.
2 o'clock.
Okay, thank you all very much.
Hare Krishna.
I'm just starting here.
What Maharaj is here?
No. Yes, it's the feast, 2 o'clock. It'll be there at 2:30. You'll end up getting taken prasad like 3:30. We'll be there at 2. You'll be a big crowd. And we're going to be at the front, and we're going to get everyone to go in first.
Yeah, everyone always comes before.